the one who is love. Be with the fullness of the one who created. Be with the fullness of.
Some interviews, we're working on our equipment, and please send us money if you can. And I just thought of this today is, you know, if you only send in like $2 even, you're sending in 2,000% of our monthly budget. So it's, you get more bang for the buck. Just send us $2, $5, whatever you can, small amounts of money. You're getting a large bang for your buck there, as opposed to sending it to a $1 million operation. We're just small potatoes here. So don't forget, after the show at 5 is Modern Mono. Always check out this week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last week of every month on Dr. Zoom, tomorrow at 5, he's going to have local music playing live here in the studio, so you don't want to miss that. I'm in contact with the International Industrial Workers of the World. They're having their weekly movie. It's called, I can't say it on the air, it's F... The Army is a movie with Jane Fonda and Donald Sutherland. They're a comedy troupe that actually went and entertained the troops. And there's a movie about this where they were trying to get soldiers to disavow the Vietnam War. So that's at McNeil Riley House Wednesday at 7, between 7 and 9:30, with a discussion afterwards. And it's a potluck. They want you to bring a place setting. So that's here in Eugene at McNeil Riley House, Wednesday, 7 to 9:30. F the Army, a movie called F the Army. All right, so today what I've got for you, I've got some humor for you. Kurt Vonnegut did with Bob and Ray, did a little-known PBS special that he wrote about going through time. A little sci-fi thing. So that's Kurt Vonnegut on that with his wry, as usual, wry satire. And but before that, I've got something from CrimeThink on this Mueller investigation that I want to play you. All punctuated with music here and there throughout the show. So yeah, don't forget Dr. Zoom Sunday, 5 to 8, and Modern Marvel coming up here. And on Wednesdays, there's a great jazz show too with on Wednesday evenings you might want to check out. So go to kepw.org to check out all this stuff on KEPW 97.3 Eugene Peaceworks Low Power FM. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. This is Talk Is Cheap on KPW 97.3 FM, simulcast on KPW.org. All right, so CrimeThink does some great anarchist stuff, and they always have a different opinion on things. And so I've said all along this Mueller thing is just, you know, the Democrats need to be working on the working class, helping the working class and environmental issues, and stop just screwing around. So, and it seems to me CrimeThink agrees with me. So this is from an unknown author on the CrimeThink site. And then coming up, I have, it's called From Time and Timbuktu, is Kurt Vonnegut's radio play that he did with Bob and Ray. So I'm just going to play you the first part of that, and you can get that on YouTube. But Kurt Vonnegut is always great for, especially in, when society is collapsing around us. Although I was just talking to somebody, you know, the reason it's collapsing is because in reality we're winning. We were winning in 1999 and at the Battle of Seattle. We were winning, and we just got to return to that spirit. All right, so here, this is from crimethink.org. It's called Mueller Time, a little play on Mueller Time there. For almost 2 years now, faithful Democrats have waited for special counsel Robert Mueller, to file his report about collusion between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russian attempts to interfere in the U.S. election, not to mention Trump's involvement in obstruction of justice. Whenever Trump's activity provokes them or a subterranean rumbling within the Justice Department emboldens them, the faithful take to the streets and social media with handheld cardboard signs and internet memes to proclaim that Mueller time is close at hand. Yet even if the Mueller investigation concludes with Trump's impeachment, the spectacle of the investigation has served to immobilize millions who have a stake in systemic social change, ensuring that what comes next in the United States will be politics as usual, not liberation. Within weeks of the beginning of the investigation, there were already think pieces and T-shirts proclaiming it's Mueller time. Let's take the T-shirts at their word. Maybe it's been Mueller time all along. Maybe Mueller time is not a specific date that is about to arrive, but the era we've been experiencing these past 2 years. In that case, Mueller time is not an hour on the clock, but a way of experiencing time, a kind of time like crunch time or quality time or go time, but the opposite of all of them. It's not a scale of time like geologic time or a time zone like Eastern Standard Time. Mueller time is more like the end times perpetually anticipated. To be precise, Mueller time is the political suspended animation in which the Democrats have waited for a repeatedly deferred due ex machina to deliver them from this unbearable president, this condition of waiting itself rather than any of the grievous injustices that have taken place during it. Is the very essence of hell. Dante, the Marco Polo of the abyss, located limbo, the residence of those who wait, in inferno, not in purgatory. Waiting is not transformative or redemptive. It is the sort of sin for which the punishment is the crime. Limbo shares a Latin root with liminal. It is homeland of those who tarry on the threshold, those who are on the fence. To understand Mueller time better, We can begin with its namesake, Miller Time. It's a time to take a load off, to ease our pain by drugging ourselves into oblivion. It's a profound expression of despair. Quote, I can only relax in this world by deadening my senses. End quote. Disguised not just as relief, but as celebration. What is the glee with which Democrats invoke Mueller time, if not an admission of their own abject powerlessness and dependence? Rejoice, says the Democrat. Justice will be done. And thank goodness, as usual, the FBI will take care of everything. Mueller time and Mueller time are both chronotopes, to use the term popularized by literary theorist Mikhail Bakhtin. There are specific relationships to time. You cannot understand a group of people without understanding how they experience the passing of time. Peering between chronotopes produces strange refractions, like looking through a glass of water. How different the world appears to a person whose activism consists chiefly of waiting, in contrast to how it appears to those for whom waiting and acting are opposites. It is the difference between spectator and athlete, between the consumer and the inventor, between those who suffer history as if it were weather and those who make history as a side effect of understanding themselves as the protagonists of their time. And Miller time and Mueller time are both marketed chronotypes. Miller time is the 5 o'clock somewhere that unites wage labor and intoxication and mutually reinforcing false opposition. But even more importantly is the branded colonization of that time. Likewise, Mueller time is not just the he'll get his, which all people of conscience wish for Trump, but a particular deferral of responsibility. Both are successful advertising campaigns that concentrate capital in certain hands precisely by inducing people not to take their problems into their own hands. All this is familiar to those who were raised as Adventists, believing that the outrageous sinfulness of the prevailing world order indicates the imminence of the resurrection and the necessity of repentance before authority. Mueller time is the redemption, the arrival of the millennium, when the legitimate authorities will reassert their dominion and the obedient will be rewarded for their patience. Good Christians have awaited this for 2,000 years. They have made a religion out of waiting. You'll get pie in the sky when you die. To keep people waiting for salvation indefinitely, it helps to shift every once in a while from the source of dramatic tension to another. Some hoped Trump would run the country like a business. Now that the signature forms of evil associated with capitalism, nepotism, profiteering, corruption, race baiting, sexual harassment, misinformation characterize the presidency, Democrats are proposing to return to the good old-fashioned signature forms of evil previously associated with government, bureaucracy, clientelism, experts deciding the fates of millions behind closed doors, all the things that helped Trump come to office. For the purposes of re-legitimizing government, it is ideal that Robert Mueller is not just a good authority figure, but specifically a white male Republican, an FBI director who first made a name for himself overseeing the killing of Vietnamese people. He is everything the average Democrat would oppose if Trump had not moved the goalposts by pursuing the same Republican agenda by potentially extra legal means. Mueller represents the same FBI that attempted to make Martin Luther King Jr. commit suicide, that set out to destroy the Occupy movement. Under Mueller's leadership, the FBI determined that the number one domestic terror threat in the United States was environmental activism. Mueller time is a way of inhabiting the eternally renewed amnesia that is America. This is the real deep state, the part of each Democrat's heart that will accept any amount of senseless violence and murder and oppression as long as it adheres to the letter of the law. All right, so that is Crime Think on the Mueller report. So coming up a little bit more on time, Between Time and Timbuktu by Kurt Vonnegut, part one. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KEPW 97.3 FM. Yeah.
At last, the day you've all been waiting for, the day we're going to announce the grand prize winner in the Blastoff. Blastoff, as you know, the space food of the astronauts. The Blastoff Space Food Jingle Contest. Behind me, in this house, is the winner. The winner does not know that he has won the Blastoff contest. May I please have the bottle? Thank you, Miss Blastoff. Lovely, lovely. Now, this is an exciting moment. I'm a little nervous. It's been so many months. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Mr. Stoney Stevenson, 32 Wilshire Terrace, Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, Mr. Stevenson, here we come.
Just think, ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments from now, in this typical modest American home, in this modest American community, you will meet the man who has won the grand prize in the Blastoff Space Jingle Contest, the energy drink of the astronauts at Mission Control. We're going to present him with the grand prize of a trip to the Kronos and Clastic Infundibulum. Here it comes now. Oh,
yes.
Excuse me, madam. Excuse
Oh, no, thank you.
No, we don't want any.
Madam,
excuse me. You don't understand. May I just speak to you for a moment? We are on network television right now.
Oh.
Is this the home of Mr. Stoney Stevenson?
Yes.
Well, may we see him, please? We have a very important announcement to make.
Stoney!
In a few moments, ladies and gentlemen.
Someone here to see you.
Live television. The excitement. Here he comes now. Here he comes.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Good day to you.
Hello.
Are you Mr. Stevenson?
Yeah, that's right. Stoney Stevenson.
Stoney Stevenson? Here he is, America. Stoney Stevenson, congratulations. Pardon me, Mama.
We have an important announcement to make to you right now. You are the winner, the grand prize winner, in the Blastoff Space Jingle Contest. America, here's your winner, Stoney Stevenson.
This is Walter Gesundheit.
And ex-astronaut Bud Williams, Jr.
Bringing you every exciting moment of the flight of Prometheus 5, direct from Mission Control, Space Flight Center.
Right.
3 months ago, Mr. Stoney Stevenson received the news on nationwide TV that he had won first prize in the space poem competition.
What a thing.
Yes, it is. And since then, he's undergone one of the most concentrated crash courses for astronauts ever devised. And in a very few moments, we will see the results of these endeavors. Prometheus 5, with astronaut Stoney Stevenson aboard, is on the launching pad. And with you, we will wait out the final moments before blastoff.
Really is tense here today, Walter.
Right, Bud. Tense is the word of the hour as astronaut Stoney Stevenson sits high atop the rocket, awaiting his launch into the Kronos and Clastic Infundibulum.
Walter, I understand that we have contact with astronaut Stevenson in his capsule now. Why don't we find out just what he's thinking in these last few minutes before blastoff?
Well, good thinking, Bud. Come in, Stoney Stevenson.
Astronaut Stevenson, this is Walter Gesundheit and ex-astronaut Bud Williams. Can you hear us?
Can you hear him, Walter?
Can't even see him.
Sorry, it seems we have some difficulty with the connection to the space capsule. For those of you who just tuned in, the countdown for the launch of Prometheus 5 has been temporarily halted at 0-60 seconds. Bud, you were on Prometheus 1 and Prometheus 3.
That's right, I was.
Well, what I really wanted to ask was, how did a highly trained technical person like yourself feel when you learned that a man who writes poetry in his spare time was going to make this trip?
Well, at first, I thought he'd be too emotional, mm-hmm. Walter. I thought maybe he can give us some fancy descriptions of things, mm-hmm. but if the going really gets tough the way it did on Prometheus 3...
You mean when the tang got loose in the landing module?
Oh, there was tang all over the place and no gravity.
Yes.
But I said, I realized they were going to put a man right through a time warp, a Kronos and Clastic Infundibulum. I said, well, maybe only a poet could describe a thing like that.
Well, words somehow seem inadequate when one is describing space.
Yes, well, if you remember, I had a great deal of trouble describing Mars.
Well, you said it looked like your driveway back home in Dallas.
Yes, well, that's what it did look like to me at the time. So if they were to put me through a time warp...
A chronosynclastic infundibulum?
Right, I probably would be speechless myself. I mean, you put a man through a time warp and...
A chronosynclastic infundibulum.
Yeah, and for a while, he's going to be scattered not only through space, but time. He's going to be 100 different places at once, and there's no way of guessing just where, you know.
Bud, what kind of training has astronaut Stevenson gone through to prepare for this mission?
Well, Walter, he's really trained very hard for the mission. You know, we have a standard here at Mission Control, a standard of excellence.
That's the atmosphere here at Mission Control, Bud. Excellence.
It takes a special person, one with fortitude, ambition, skill, intelligence.
Thank you very much. Shoot! I'm sorry! I mean, I couldn't get a glandular reading. I'm very sorry, Ernie. I'm very sorry.
Well, that's all right. Do the best you can. Just a minute. I've got a call coming in here.
Forthrightness, awareness. Good eyesight, and most of all, guts to work here in the heart of Mission Control. I mean, it's here that the very life of astronaut Stevenson, his entire life, will be watched over and cared for, whereas every heartbeat, respiratory, and digestive activity will be monitored by computer. Excellence is the byword and the product of this crack team here at Mission Control.
Well, I understand we've now made contact with Stoney Stevenson, high atop his launch rocket. Hello, Stoney. Yes, and a special kind of man it is to be a space adventurer, an explorer of the unknown. A man from Mission Control is very special indeed.
Geologist. Physicist. Electrical engineer. Physician. Chemist. Test pilot. The Air Force, the Army and the Navy, and now the average man, Stoney Stevenson, one and all, the great team, the men from Mission Control.
Before we hear from our astronaut, we're fortunate to have Mrs. Stevenson, Stoney's mother, with us here in the studio. She's been keeping up a constant vigil here at Mission Control. Bud?
You must be very proud of your son.
It doesn't seem possible. Nobody in our family ever won a contest.
Well, I'd like to announce to you and to the American public that Stoney was made an honorary private in the United States Army this morning.
Well, isn't that something?
Isn't that great?
Uncle George won't believe it.
When he was a child, did you have any intimation that someday he'd be going off into space like this?
He used to be interested in the pressure cooker. He'd get it out and play with it. Seal it up tight and then unseal it again. Put different things in it. Marbles, his toy fire engine. Now they got him all sealed up.
I was about to say that he came from a typical American family, but of course he isn't a typical American astronaut, is he?
Depends on what kind of typical you're talking about. I think we're typical Americans. His father committed suicide. I've been married 3 times, happily only once.
To Stoney's father?
To Fred K. Bonzer.
Stoney did grow up, though, in the American Middle West.
Indianapolis.
In what we'd consider a typical Hoosier house.
The welfare people had us in a Holiday Inn for a while. That was quite a scandal.
Why do they call people from Indiana Hoosiers? I've often wondered about that.
Nobody knows.
So, Stoney Stevenson's roots are in Indiana soil.
He has a cemetery lot in Brooklyn, New York.
Pardon me?
Fred K. Bonzer, my third husband, inherited a cemetery lot in Brooklyn from a rich uncle. He gave it to Stoney on Stoney's 8th birthday at a big party at the Holiday Inn. That was before the newspapers found out that the welfare people had put us up there at $30 a night.
Right.
And that was just before the hit the fan.
You signaling me, Walter?
Sorry to interrupt, Bud. Let's switch now to Colonel Donald Tex Pirandello, the voice of Prometheus 5.
Tex, I know there's been a lot of conversation about will he wear his spacesuit or won't he. Do you have the final decision on that?
Right, Walter. Soon after launch, He will take off his outer protective envelope or spacesuit and eject it from the capsule. He will not need his spacesuit in his travels. Astronaut Stevenson will drink orange-flavored hydrogen peroxide and absorb the slowly released oxygen through the wall of his small intestine. Communications between the capsule and mission control will be established momentarily. In the meantime, I know he would want me to let everybody know how happy and proud he is today. He's raring to go. We are at 60 seconds and counting.
Oh, my. We interrupt this countdown to bring you special coverage of a disturbance at Southgate. Take it away, Sandy.
This is Sandy Abernathy at the Southgate of Mission Control. The radical evangelist Dr. Bobby Denton and a group of his avid followers are here protesting the launching of Prometheus 5. It's an angry crowd and the guards cannot hold.
Minus 45 seconds.
Dr. Denton was just released yesterday from federal prison, where he served a 9-day sentence for disorderly conduct for his actions at the Poor People's March last June.
30 seconds and counting.
They have refused to leave. Let's take a listen.
These scientists, I say, are just building another Tower of Babel.
Testing. 49.
Well, we don't need them. And we don't need their countdowns to get us where we're going, do we? Because we have our own countdown here on God's Green Station. Do you know what it is? Do you want to hear it? 10.
10.
Do you covet your neighbor's things?
9.
9, you bear false witness.
8. 8,
you steal. 7, you commit adultery.
6.
5, you honor your mother and father.
4.
You take the name of the Lord in vain.
2.
You make any great images.
1.
Blast off!
Oh, blast off!
Blast off!
Systems go. Prometheus 5 has cleared the tower. It's a good one.
Delta acceleration at maximum.
Optimum burnout projected. Cabin systems A-OK. Communications tracking locked in. Looks good from here.
Well, there you have it, the successful launch of Prometheus 5, an historic day as man reaches further into space to find the meaning of life. Traveling at 28,000 miles an hour, Stoney Stevenson is headed for the Kronos and Clastic Infundibulum. And it's in that time warp where astronaut Stevenson may find the answer to all creation. Well, what did you think of astronaut Stevenson and the launching of Prometheus 5, Bud?
Well, I thought he did just fine, Walter, and this launch certainly couldn't be called a lemming. No, sir, it's no lemming. Really having a great time, aren't they?
They're really pleased.
They deserve it, too.
Really pleased. They're really pleased.
They deserve it.
We could stand some of that bubbly ourselves, Bud.
So. We're doing a 7 o'clock show tonight.
They're really pleased.
Ha ha ha! We've got him. All indicators point favorably. Respiration, heartbeat, blood pressure.
Oxygen, water, cabin pressure. All indicate A-okay.
Oh, then I'm not dead.
Oh, no, you're just fine. You're just fine. We do get an excess moisture reading from the upper module of your spacesuit.
Yeah, me too.
Do you have a simple explanation?
Yeah.
Could we have it, please? I think I threw up.
hey, oh, doggone it. We've lost him. You have 120 million miles to travel, and according to the latest calculations, you should reach the chronosynclastic infundibulum in 3 months, 4 days, 13 hours, 3 minutes, and 7 seconds.
Tony?
Ma? Is that you?
Oh, it's good to hear a familiar voice, Ma.
You're a very brave boy, Tony. I'm very proud of you. And so is your Aunt Alice and Cousin Bruce. Mrs. Myers from next door says you come to dinner when you come back from your trip.
That's real nice of her, Mom.
I see Mom Stevenson is still in mission control, Bud.
That's right, Walter. She's moved right in.
Her mother standing by her son in his moment of need.
She's moved a cot in there back of the retro readouts, and she's put doilies on the backs of all of the chairs.
A marvelous woman, Bud.
Can you tell us if you plan to write any more poetry?
Well, yeah, my first one's going to be a sestina, I hope.
A sestina? All I know about poetry is Burma Shade.
Well, a sestina has six stanzas with six lines each, and the same six words end each stanza, you see, but in a different order each time.
The six words I've chosen are taken from man's
words when he set foot on the moon. One long step for man. Kind.
The order of the end words in the second stanza will be long one man kind step foot. And then the third stanza is going to be step kind man.
This is Walter Gesundheit
and Bud Williams Jr.
bringing you the continuing saga of Prometheus 5. Private Stoney Stevenson is approaching the core of the time warp at a speed of
I've lost it.
It is now 6 months since Stoney Stevenson blasted off on his epic adventure. Communications have become increasingly hard the further he travels away from Earth, as the moment has arrived by all our calculations when Stoney will hit the chronosynclastic infundibulum.
Thank you.
I guess nobody knows now when we'll see Corporal Stevenson again.
No, if ever.
Am I dead yet?
I understand Stoney is writing a poem out there in space, bud.
Really?
Yes, and he's chosen those immortal words first spoken by man when he stepped on the moon.
Oh, those words are very patriotic, Walter.
A long step for man.
No, I think it was a giant step for man, a long leap for mankind.
Hello, Control. Am I dead yet?
One long step for mankind?
No, it was one step onto the moon for a man.
Moon wasn't in there, Walter.
Step. Wasn't it? For man and two steps for mankind.
One step for man and two steps for mankind?
Doesn't sound right, does it?
It doesn't flow the way it did originally.
I'm stepping now for man.
Now,
hoping
I think you have it now.
All mankind will remember this moment
in history.
Did he say two steps at all? Is it always
a
step?
No, it's one step for man and one leap for mankind. Anybody?
Welcome to the island of San Lorenzo. Does that make you happy or sad?
That depends, I suppose.
A wise answer. We fished you from the sea. Are you all right?
I think so.
Good.
Tiger got to sleep, bird has to land, man got to tell himself.
Just about, seems like every other year. And his work is even wise enough to be appreciated by the younger generation, the ones that we're told don't read. So obviously there must be some of them who do. He's a social commentator, I guess, as well as a storyteller. The story that he is going to bring us today is hair-raising and profoundly important, I think. And so greetings, Mr. Vonnegut, once again. After all these years, you've just come back from Mozambique, a name that only meant something to me because of my stamp collection as a tiny boy for many years.
That was my frame of mind too, and I was invited to go there by CARE. There's a principal relief organization operating there, and so I said, "Sure, let's go." So now I've swum in all three oceans. I had never swum in the Indian Ocean, and I made a point of that.
You thought, without hesitation, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said in one book, unusual travel suggestions or dancing lessons from God, but I have indeed, by golly, been to Mozambique, and I am in a position where I can actually know what I'm talking about, which is unusual in my case.
Do you think in this world where we're told that the average American can't find Canada or Mexico on a map, at least there's a lot of the students can't.
No, I think it's quite true, yeah. Well, it is on the west coast of, or on the east coast of Africa, on the Indian Ocean. It's about twice the size of California, and it's a famous place where people are starving. There's a hell of a lot of them. There are over a million refugees. There's people unable to farm or look after themselves at all. And so there are many relief agencies operating there. Yeah. But this has nothing to do with the weather. It's very much like California. It's that beautiful. It has the longest coastline in Africa. As it's not overpopulated, they haven't overbred. There are only 14 million people in two Californias. And it should be paradise, except it is an absolute nightmare. And the reason is political. It has nothing to do with the lack of rainfall or overpopulation or anything.
How did it get that way? Can you give us a little primer on that? It used to be quite...
Every night, there you sit, lump in your chair. Where do you sleep and what do you wear when you're sleeping? What do you want from life? Indian guru to show you the inner light. What do you want from life? A meaningless love affair with the girl that you met tonight. How can you tell when you're doing all right? Does your bank account swell while you're dreaming at night? How do you know when you're really in love? Do violins play when you're touching the one that you love? What do you want from life?
What do you want?
Someone to love and someone that you can trust. What do you want from life?
What do you want from
life? Try and be happy while you do the nasty things you must.
What do you want from life?
What do you want?